that they soiled their spiritual garments. So that blows away what the eternal security people are teaching, that God can't see. It also blows away what they teach, and you're going to hear in just a few minutes, what Charles Stanley said, that your future sins are already forgiven before you even commit those sins. They actually teach sometimes, not all, some of them, that your future sins are already forgiven before you commit those sins. So you don't have to confess them. You don't have to repent. It's like they're not even in existence. God can't even see it. You're already forgiven of that. See, they're trying to eliminate the idea that you could die spiritually through sin. It's hard to believe, but that's exactly what they teach. Let me give you the name of the cassette tape that I'd like you to play. It's by Charles Stanley, and it is God's Second Chance, Grace in Continuing Sin. Please play that when you can.
No matter what you do as a child of God, you are forgiven. You say, murder, forgiven. Stealing, forgiven. Adultery, forgiven. Worshipping idols, forgiven.
Again, no matter what you do as a child of God, you are forgiven. You say murder, forgiven. Stealing, forgiven. Adultery, forgiven. Worshipping idols, forgiven. Hard to believe, isn't it? Well, if that's true, how come we don't see that over in Revelation 2 and 3 and many other places in the New Testament? Why did John say that we needed to confess our sin in 1 John 1:9? Charles Stanley, how can you teach this way, being the largest Protestant denomination in our day, and there not be an uproar? You know why? Because people love that kind of teaching. I'll prove it to you. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 4, starting at verse 2, preach the word, be prepared in season, out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction, for the time will come. Notice, back then it was future tense. It's not future tense anymore, brothers and sisters. The time has come. It is now. He said in verse 3, the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth, away from the truth, and turn aside to mythology. Turn from truth and turn to mythology. No wonder the Southern Baptist denomination is the largest Protestant denomination in the United States. There's a whole lot of people that like sin, and they're going to seek out teachers to say exactly what they want to hear. My wife and I went over to the Pittsburgh area to meet some people, and we had a few minutes on our hands. We wanted to go in this store, and we were handing out salvation tracts. My wife handed a man a salvation tract that came over to me and said, I'd like to encourage you. What you're doing is great. He says, I'm a Christian. And then he said, I'm also an alcoholic. He said, I'm a Christian, but I'm also an alcoholic. Well, I knew immediately what happened. The man was deceived by eternal security. Nobody is going to believe that you can be a drunkard and be a Christian at the same time unless they have been deceived by the teaching of eternal security. This license for immorality. This security in sin gospel. I shared with him 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10, Paul said, do you not know that the unrighteous or the wicked, depending what translation you're reading, will not inherit the kingdom of God? And he went through a whole listing in 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10 of people that will not inherit the kingdom of God. And in that list are the drunkards. Now, I know a whole lot of people used to be drunkards. They came to God, got set free. They're not drunkards anymore. But nobody is a Christian while in drunkenness. They got to repent like the prodigal. Come back to the Father. Nobody's a Christian if they're an adulterer, if they're a slanderer, a swindler. They're not a Christian according to that passage and other scriptures. They're not a Christian according to what the Bible says. Now, would you please play the other Charles Stanley excerpt?
Charles Stanley, Sometimes out of ignorance or whatever it might be, they attempt to gratify and meet those needs the same way they did before they were saved. And therefore, you can't tell a carnal believer from a lost man. That is, you can't tell the cold from the carnal, because the truth is, they're both acting the same way. Now, one of them is in Christ and one of them isn't. One of them is lost and the other one is in Christ. One of them knows about God and knows in the experience of salvation. The other doesn't know Him at all.
Charles Stanley believes, based on the teaching of the carnal Christian, that you cannot tell a carnal believer from a lost man. That is, you cannot tell the cold from the carnal, because the truth is, they're both acting the same way. Hence, there are two types of adulterers. One saved, one not saved. The one that is saved, he's saved because he once had a moment of faith and got regenerated. He's a Christian. The other adulterer, he's not saved because he never had a moment of faith. Two types of drunkards, two types of witches, two types of homosexuals, two types of murderers and bank robbers and serial rapists. Remember the BTK serial murderer? We read about him not too long ago, about 2 months back, if I recall. He was one of the leaders in that church. And that pastor actually said two things that is most revealing about the apostate hour that we live in. He said, number one, he thought he was demon-possessed, which is probably true. But then he also said he was a Christian. Did you hear that? The man said he thought he was demon-possessed, but he was a Christian. Now, they're talking about a serial murderer. So you got now, according to that article and the teaching of eternal security, you got the concept of a serial murderer, demon-possessed, being a Christian. Folks, this is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. But this is what they're teaching. This is what they teach. And the people love it. And if you stand opposed to that, they will oppose you. They'll slander you. They'll hate you. They'll persecute you. They'll label you teaching a work salvation. You ignorant buffoon. Don't you understand grace? That's what they say sometimes. They have a condescending attitude because we quote scripture. By the way, I want to share something with you. Look at 1 John 3:10. 1 John chapter 3, verse 10. Stanley's saying you can't tell a carnal believer, that's a carnal Christian, from a lost man. And he based that on the concept that their behavior is identical. But in 1 John 3:10, the Word of God, the truth, says, "This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother." It says here you can know the child of God from the child of the devil. Stanley's saying you can't know. The Bible says you can know. And the Bible says you can know based on their behavior. You see, your behavior is a manifestation of your faith in Jesus. I'm not saved by anything I do. It's my faith in Jesus. Jesus is the Savior. He's the one mediator. He got the only name under heaven in which salvation is found. He's the only way to the Father. I can never earn my salvation, and neither can anyone else. But we can turn from Him. We can stop believing on Him and not benefit at all by what He has already done for us. You can die spiritually, the Bible says. You don't have to. You don't need to be fearful as long as, well, in one sense you do, but you don't have to be fearful that the devil's going to snatch you away from the Father as long as you're following Him. But the Bible does speak of a healthy fear, which is the opposite of the kind of arrogance the eternal security people have, and I'll share that with you in a minute. You don't have to be fearful like that. As long as you're doing what God said, you avoid certain people, places, and things. You walk alert. You be aware that there are false teachers. My wife and I, we don't watch TV and we don't listen to the radio. We don't listen to any radio. We get our truth from the Bible. We have the whole Bible on CD and we put it on before we go to bed. And while we're trying to fall asleep, we listen to them read the scriptures. If we get up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, we hear someone reading a scripture. When we get up in the morning out of bed to start the day, they're reading the Bible. And my wife and I, we try to think about it, we talk about it, we study the Bible together. I found out, based on all the warnings in the Bible, Jesus said in Matthew 24 that one thing especially will exist at the end of this age before he returns. Religious deception. Religious deception. He said there's going to be false prophets and false teachers and false Christ all over the place. I've been deceived already as a Catholic. I don't want to be deceived again. So I'm going to spend time in the Bible and believe the Bible. I don't care how popular they are. I don't care how unpopular it is for me. I remember when I was pastoring, I preached in a similar way as to how I am preaching tonight. Maybe not this clear because my understanding of this whole thing increased over the years. But some people got very upset at me. I remember a particular couple. They said they wanted to meet with me and they weren't clear. So they came over and the wife said to me, "We're concerned." She really meant to say that she was concerned. And she said, "We don't believe that you're preaching the word." And I said, "Why is that?" And she said, "Well, there's a lot of emphasis in the congregation about obeying God. And you said that you cannot be sexually immoral, be a Christian." I said, "That's true." And I read to them 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10, shared 1 Corinthians 7, 19, where Paul said the only thing that counts is keeping God's commands. 1 Corinthians 7, 19. Paul said the only thing that counts is keeping God's commands. Now, that's the grace teacher. He said what counts is keeping God's commands. And would you believe that they ended up leaving? They left. Well, didn't we just read? Didn't we just see in the Bible that the time would come when people would turn away from the truth and turn aside to mythology? Thank God I was aware of that passage. If not, I could have really been discouraged. Can you imagine how discouraging that could have been? Sharing the truth to people and having them leave? Exactly what the Bible says. Exactly what the Bible says. Well, Jesus taught the truth in John chapter 6. Everybody walked away except the 12. Jesus said, "Are you going to leave too?" And Peter said, "Well, Lord, you have the words of eternal life." Amen. Jesus has the words of eternal life. Jesus said, "All men will hate you because of me. He that endures to the end will be saved." Let me make a few quick comments here about Judas. The intensity of our warfare is certainly shown in many ways. One of which is by examining the life of Solomon, the Old Testament character, and the New Testament character named Judas. Judas, according to Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, was not only a disciple, and we find out the tail end of Matthew chapter 12, that disciples are Jesus' family, but Judas was also an apostle. An apostle holds the highest office in the church. There's apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. The highest office in the church is, the highest office is apostle. Jesus put Judas, along with the other 12, in that position. Now, I'm sure some of these people don't do this intentionally, but it is borderline blasphemy to say Judas was never saved, because to say he was never saved is saying that Jesus put a child of the devil in the highest position in the church to be his holy representative when he wasn't holy at all, when he wasn't God's child, when he wasn't representing the truth at all. Notice what Jesus said to the 12. Look at Matthew 19, 28. Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Judas was there. Judas was promised a throne in heaven. Did you hear that? I said Judas was promised a throne in heaven. Is that possible if he was never saved? Does that not also say at this point, along with the other 12, Judas also was following Jesus at this point? Well, let's see. Judas was a disciple, an apostle, promised a throne in heaven, and was following Jesus at this point. But the eternal security people were saying, "Wait a minute. The Bible says he was a thief. He betrayed Jesus, called the son of perdition. Yes, that's true. But it doesn't mean that he was always the son of perdition. That he was always a thief. Because the Bible says he was a disciple. Disciples aren't thieves. Judas, from a disciple, became a thief. Judas, from a disciple, an apostle, became a betrayer of Jesus. Judas ended up in hell. I've had people say to me, "Now you're judging. You don't know he went to hell." We write back, "Oh, yes, I do. I am certain Judas went to hell." Even though Judas was previously saved, Judas went to hell. So that blows away eternal security. It's impossible. Judas never had eternal security. If Judas never had eternal security, we don't have eternal security either. How do I know Judas went to hell? The Bible says in John 17:12, Jesus said this, "While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I was keeping them in your name, which you have given me. And I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, so that the scripture would be fulfilled." Judas was the exception to the other ones. None of them perished except Judas. Mark 14:21 says, "The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him, but woe to the man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." Now that's the language of going to hell, not the language of entering the kingdom of God. Judas went to hell after he died, even though Judas was a disciple at one time. And Judas was a preacher. Judas was sound in doctrine, and he got picked off. The intensity of our war. Folks, it don't have to be like that. But I'm saying you got to walk guarded. Know this, every day the devil gives you thoughts. The devil's not always going to give you thoughts to go steal or slander somebody or commit adultery or lie. Look at pornography. He'll give you maybe a thought that might lead up to that down the road. Every day, the devil gives you thoughts. That's why you got to be careful what kind of thoughts you ponder. And if you fill your mind with God's word and you're walking in the fear of God like the Bible says we should, everything's going to be fine. I want to share a passage I mentioned about the arrogance of eternal security. Look at Romans chapter 11, please. Romans chapter 11, 19 through 23. The Apostle Paul wrote this. By the way, the Calvinists love the book of Romans. I wonder why they skip over Romans 11, 19 through 23. Listen to what the Bible says. "You will say then, branches were broken off so that I could be grafted in, granted, but they were broken off because of unbelief. You stand by faith. Do not be arrogant, but be afraid. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either." Paul's writing the church at Rome. He's saying, look what God did to Israel. What he did to Israel, he's going to do to you Christians, sealed by the Holy Spirit, new creations in Christ, washed in the blood of the Lamb. It's going to happen to you if you turn to unbelief. And then look at verse 22. "Consider therefore the kindness and sternness of God, sternness to those who fell." Notice they fell because of unbelief. "But kindness to you, provided that you continue in his kindness." Continue in his kindness. "Otherwise, you also will be cut off. And if they do not persist in unbelief, they will be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again." This is a passage that proves you can come back to God. You can turn to unbelief, be an unbeliever, repent of that, and come back to God and get grafted back in according to this. That's what he said. That's interesting, because one of the false accusations they label against us that believe in a conditional security is this. They say, we say, which is not true. They say, we say that if you ever fall away, you can't come back to God. That's not true. It's not true. Romans 11 teaches you can come back to God, like James 5, 19 and 20. Now, I have that on a transparency around here somewhere. Let me take a moment and find that. I want to share that with you. In fact, why don't we do it this way? Please play the cassette by Dave Hunt on the Sin Unto Death. And while this is playing, I'll look for the transparency.
Some of you are weak and sickly, and some of you sleep. Some of you died because God has brought judgment upon you for the way you have conducted yourselves and so forth. So I think what he's saying is there are some sins that are so heinous, and not only heinous, but perhaps, I think it depends upon the position that a person has, it brings reproach upon Christ, and God takes them home for that.
Dave Hunt said, "For this cause, some of you are weak and sickly, and some of you sleep. Some of you died because God has brought judgment upon you for the way you have conducted yourselves," and so forth. So I think he's saying is there is some sins that are so heinous, and not only heinous, but perhaps I think it depends upon the position that a person has that brings reproach upon Christ, and God takes them home for that. The eternal security people interpret the sin unto death as being a Christian backsliding, staying unrepentant in heinous sin, stubbornly continuing in ongoing sin. God in his wrath kills that Christian and takes him to heaven. God kills the unrepentant adulterer, the unrepentant drunkard, the unrepentant homosexual, the child molester, the rapist, serial rapist, kills him and takes him to heaven. That is how they understand the sin unto death. If that's not a license for immorality, what is? Even the Calvinists teach that way. We have a quote from D. James Kennedy. He said there was a man in his church that was having an adulterous affair with a woman, and they suspended him from communion, told him he couldn't have communion anymore, and he just continued on. He was trying to break up that marriage to get the woman. And D. James Kennedy said, all of a sudden, God pulled his chain, meaning that he died. And he's saying that's an example of the sin unto death. He died and he went to heaven. He died unrepentant in adultery. Why didn't he say then that he didn't continue in holiness until the end and therefore he was never saved? You're not going to tell me, D. James Kennedy, who has about 7 doctorate degrees, you're not going to tell me that if you continue in adultery that you're in holiness. This is what they teach. They teach this, they teach that, they teach this over here, and this contradicts all that, and they teach this other poison, and people love it. They love it. James 5, 19 and 20. Notice this. These are the last 2 verses in James. My brethren, if any of you strays from the truth, and one turns him back, notice, back to the truth, let him know that whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. So if the person that strays goes back to where he was before he strayed, his soul will be saved. So clearly it's talking about people that are Christian. Christians going astray and somebody turning him back. Now notice, when he was away from the truth, when he strayed from the truth, he's called what? A sinner. The Christian changes his identity and becomes a sinner. He's no longer righteous in God's eyes. He's now a sinner. And even though this man would commit a multitude of sins, he can come back. God will take him back. You see, it's unlike Hebrews 6, 4 through 6. They committed eternal sin. They couldn't return. They couldn't be renewed by repentance, but this type of person can be. A multitude of sins. What a merciful God we got, as long as you repent. Do not think that the merciful God is going to show anything but wrath and anger on you if you cling to sin. That is exactly what you're going to experience from God. Wrath and anger, and you'll be thrown by a holy angel into the fiery furnace in the end if you die in that condition. Now listen to me. Let me say this. The most important endeavor in this life, the most important thing to strive for in this life is to get in the kingdom. You know why I say that? Because Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. Did you know that's a continuous tense? Jesus said, keep seeking first. Keep seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We're in a day where they tell you, you're born again, you're in, you're going. Nobody, nothing can stop you. God can't keep you out now. You were born again. Now you have to grab hold of this scripture. Luke 13, 23 and 24. Luke chapter 13, 23 and 24. And this reflects the intensity of our warfare. Luke 13, 23 and 24. Listen to this. Someone asked him, Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? How did Jesus answer that? He said to them. Notice here was one person asking that question. Jesus is answering to the whole crowd. Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try and will not get in. The many that won't get in, they're going to put forth an effort and they're still not going to get in. Jesus said, make every effort. Now, if you analyze that in the Greek, Jesus said, continue to make an agonizing effort to get in. The same word we get our word agony from comes from the Greek word right over here used in this verse. Jesus said, now he's talking about an entrance into the kingdom. Now remember now, Judas, who had the highest office in the church, had special power from God to heal the sick and do these other amazing miracles. He fell away. He didn't make it. That tells us something. But when you come to this passage, and Jesus said, keep making an agonizing effort to enter, because many's going to make an effort. They're going to make an effort to get in, but they're not going to get in. Now, if most people in our day was asked, what kind of effort are you making to get into the kingdom now that you trusted in Jesus? Most people that are Protestants that have a Bible, they would say, huh? What? The Bible teaches we need to put forth an effort to keep ourselves clean, pure, holy, and committed to Jesus, and to be set apart for Him. The Bible says that, says in James 4:4, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is enemy toward God? Whoever is a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. So you don't want to become a friend of this world, because you'll become an enemy of God. We need to dedicate, get serious, zealous, committed toward the things of God, and get the things of sin in this world, the temporal things of this life, behind us, take up our cross, deny ourselves daily, and follow Jesus. That's the smartest thing that you will ever do. This life is a test. You're being tested. I'm being tested. Most people aren't going to enter. And listen, it's just as important to endure to the end as it is to get born again. Because if you don't endure to the end, you getting born again won't benefit you at all in the end. It won't benefit. You're not going to get in the kingdom. The stress in our day is to get born again. Equally important is to endure to the end. You need to get born again and endure to the end. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 7:14? I read it Sunday morning. Difficult is the road that leads to life. There's all kinds of things that will happen. We're being tested. There's false teachers around. There's sin that the devil will tempt us with. We need to keep a single eye on Jesus and on eternity. Now, brothers and sisters, you might say, well, I'm so weak. In Revelation chapter 2 and 3, there was a church group there. Jesus said they had little faith, but they kept his word. Boy, does that bless me. That's all. You need little faith. That's all. Just a little faith. You can keep his word. You can remain faithful to God. You can do it. You will do it. You got to get serious about God. Don't be playing again. If you're lukewarm, Jesus will spew you out of his mouth. God will see to it you don't get in his kingdom if you're lukewarm. The devil won't keep you up. Jesus will spew you out of his body if you're lukewarm. See, some people think lukewarmness is a continual condition. No, it's temporary. Jesus told those Laodiceans who were lukewarm what they needed to do and change. If not, they would be spewed out of his mouth, spewed out of the body of Christ. Nobody is a continual lukewarm Christian. God said to them, be earnest. That means be hot. He told them to be hot. I've had people say, you are so spiritually minded, you are of no earthly good. This is what I believe. I believe the only time you're any earthly good is when you're so spiritually minded. Now you tell me, what kind of good was the Apostle Paul? Was Paul any earthly good? You better believe he was of earthly good. Because he was spiritually minded. Paul said, set your mind and your heart on things above, not on earthly things. This is all temporary. It's all just passing. The Bible says, all men are like grass, all their glory like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. It's all temporary. We're going to die. We're going to leave everything behind. The only thing that matters is our heart. Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart above all things. First and foremost, you guard your heart. I can go on. I definitely am stopping. Thank you for being patient. I wanted to get these things out. There's so many things connected with eternal security. I was sharing with Pastor Dave and his wife What I'm going to be able to hit on, and what I have already hit on, and I'll finish up tomorrow night, is this much out of this much material. But thank God I was able to hit on this much. But you already got enough. It's easy to refute eternal security. It only takes one example of a person ever saved who would afterwards become unsaved. And that's exactly what we have at least 18 times in the Bible. At least 18. At least 16 times in the New Testament. Judas being a prime example. All right. Pastor, it's yours.